This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, joined by Bill Hohenstein, who is Director of the Office of Energy and Environmental Policy at USDA, and it's great to see you.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Little background about you and how you ended up at USDA. Was agriculture in your background?
Natural resources was in my background. I started off as a forestry major, and as you know, USDA includes the Forest Service, and then went to graduate school for resource economics. From there, I worked at EPA for almost a decade, but I've been here now for 18 years, since August of 2000. So I've spent most of my career at the Department of Agriculture.
I believe the last time we had the opportunity to visit, we were talking about climate and the work that USDA does in the climate sector. What's happening there?
Sure, the work that we continue to do. As you're well aware, and as farmers across the country are well aware, their work depends on climate and a stable climate and understanding climate risks and variability and how things are changing. We have a longstanding program dealing with climate and climate change. It includes a strong research component, but then a lot of work on technologies and practices. How do we position farmers and U.S. agriculture to be successful?
But that's not the only thing you're doing. You've added some more work in here. I guess you weren't putting in enough hours. Energy and the environmental policy as well.
Sure. That's probably one of the bigger changes we've had recently. Our office has expanded. We've taken on two new responsibilities, and our office was merged with two other offices. And so we have the Office of Energy Policy and New Uses, which deals with things like the Renewable Fuel Standard and on-farm energy, and a small office called the Office of Environmental Markets. And that office deals with how do we engage the private sector, and how do we develop opportunities for farmers where they're doing great things for conservation and the environment, where they can get compensated. And environmental markets are one way to do that.
On that side, we've seen some hearings already on the Hill where they're looking at that, and some younger producers who seem pretty excited about the opportunity.
Sure. There's a lot of interest, and there has been. One of the things our office does is to try to temper some of that and to make sure that as we move forward, we're moving forward with a sound, quantitative basis for whatever happens. There's been a lot of talk about water quality markets and habitat banks and wetland banks and carbon markets, and some of that's really taken off and providing real benefits to farmers. At the same time, we want to make sure farmers understand both what they're getting into, if they're thinking about getting involved in one of these markets, what are their obligations and their responsibilities, and what are some of the benefits. At the same time, we work with the companies. We work with folks that are interested in partnering with agriculture, because for a company that doesn't normally work with agriculture, it can be a confusing sector. Lots of smaller producers, lots of different folks in this space doing different things.
On the energy side, RFS obviously is one of those that is a well-known acronym.
Sure, and it's beyond the RFS. The RFS is really important in terms of creating a benchmark and a basis for expanding the bioeconomy. But what we can see now is that producers and the sector is going beyond the RFS. We're actually a significant exporter of ethanol, producing beyond what the RFS is requiring. So a lot of this work is focused on how the RFS is functioning, how to make it work better. But then there's also work to look at how the industry and the market's expanding and how that's creating opportunities for agriculture.
And then tying that back into what's happening on the farm. And when we start looking at, you know, some of those options, I asked you earlier, digesters, does that fall under your work as well?
Sure. So within animal agriculture, manure is an important source of greenhouse gas emissions. And we look at digesters as a way of dealing with both water quality and air quality issues but also a way of potentially generating energy for on-farm. And that can be in the form of heat and power, but it also can be that the gas that gets captured in a digester is can get put in a pipeline and get sent off and be part of the natural gas system. So there's a lot of things going on in the digester space. It doesn't necessarily work for every farm or every operation, but there are certainly opportunities there.
We focus a lot maybe on the generation side, but does your work also include the consumption side of trying to find ways to use the energy that we have more in a beneficial way?
Sure. So this is about the farmer's bottom line, right? And energy is a cost for the farmer. And so we have programs within USDA, within the Rural Development Mission area, that can help farms with an on-farm energy audit, and then also with loans and in some cases grants to help them install energy efficient technologies or technologies that can help them generate on-farm renewables. So these are things like solar that they can put on their facilities, ways of improving lighting in their barns and their poultry operations, cooling systems. You know, across the board, when you look at how energy is used on a farm, there are opportunities to actually improve it. And our programs can help help finance that work for farmers.
I want you to look at, I mean, we've identified some challenges there. And I know I'm asking you to look at challenges across three different areas that, that you're working, but what are some areas that maybe keep you up at night?
Well, certainly this interplay with climate and ag. You know, as we can see, the challenges we're facing are really about extremes, having too much water or too little water at the wrong time, and how farmers are managing those risks. Now, we tend to focus on the emergencies and the events, but behind that, there are things farmers can do to improve resilience. A lot of that has to do with soil health and being prepared. We work closely with NRCS, our conservation agency, to help farmers improve soil health on their farms. And a healthy soil helps with water infiltration. It helps with water holding. And so it helps farmers deal with the extremes on both ends, too much water, too little water. While we're focused right now on too much water in the wrong places at the wrong time, we also are looking in the longer run about how do we manage all of these climate risks and variabilities, and how do we provide farmers with information and the technologies to help them improve the resilience of their operations.
So that's the challenge side. Mm-hmm. Now, how about in the crystal ball? Things that you see that, and maybe we're not there yet. Some people will call it the moonshot, if you will. But what is it that you're really excited about?
Well, we're excited about the potential for new markets for commodities when it comes to some of the work we're doing in the bioenergy and bioeconomy space. And so not just creating liquid fuels, but also things like bioplastics and biopolymers and biochemicals. There's a lot of potentials for domestic markets. For our commodities, not just as food source, but also in terms of creating new products and new materials.
Last one here for you. You've got a group of farmers in here, not literally, but you have the opportunity to visit with farmers. What would be one parting message that you would offer them about the work that your offices do? What would that be?
Sure. Well, farmers tend to be pretty practical and pragmatic folks, and not too focused on things that are outside of their control. I think, you know, when I talk to farm groups and I talk about the work we do, there's a lot of interest in, you know, can we get a better drought monitor? Can we get a better set of irrigation technologies that can improve water use efficiency? Can we provide them with ways of improving soil health or improving their livestock operations? So what I would say is that, you know, our programs are responsive to the challenges that farmers are facing, I think we want to partner with the folks in the farm community and making sure that the information and the services we're providing actually meet their needs.
It's great to see you. Thanks for your work. And here's to 18 more years.
I hope not. Thank you.
Again, it's the director of the Office of Energy and Environmental Policy at USDA, Bill Hohenstein, joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.